I'm so glad you're here today. I want to bring a message to you today that I believe is relevant for us today. I believe every person in the building needs this message. In some area of your life, you may be different than other people's lives, a little different, but it's all relevant. As I was preparing this week, the Lord began to deal with me on some things in my own life, and then I said, just kind of began to study and grow, and I got a hold of another book that I'm going to start teaching called Total Forgiveness. Because I don't care who you are, there's somewhere in there that you need to forgive somebody of something down in there that you've covered up. And which led me into this message today. And media team, you don't have this particular passage of scripture, and you don't really have to go there if you don't want to, but it's 2 Samuel chapter 12, and this is right on the heels of David committing murder and adultery. And at this time in history, in biblical history, you would find that there were prophets that were close to the kings and people of authority. There were always people that was around him. Much like, I guess, the administration of today, what we'd call the administration. But this was different than administration like you would see at the White House or a governor or a mayoral position. These people were appointed by God. They were called by God, so you couldn't fire them. You didn't have to like them, but you couldn't get rid of them. If you did get rid of them, it was on you. And so it takes a lot for this to happen, but in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, I'm going to read a few verses, and then I'll move to my text. Because this is not my text, but I want to give you the background. And I'm reading from the NLT. I don't know what you guys have up there, but I'm reading from the NLT this morning. It says, so the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He had raised the little lamb, and it grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup, and he cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. Verse 7, then Nathan said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king over Israel, and you saved you from the power of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdom of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite and with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. Now if you'll go with me to Psalms 51. Psalms 51 is David's prayer of repentance for murder, adultery, stealing, whatever you want. This is his prayer of repentance. Now, if you go on to read 2 Samuel 12, 13, 14, you find that Bathsheba became pregnant. She had a son, and because of the sin and stuff, the baby died. David's left here. After that, where do we go from here? I think a lot of times we get in the middle of something, we get through a situation in life, and we find ourselves between the sin and the repentance. And we're stuck here in this spot saying, where do we go from here? Because there's no prophet to come by to tell you that you've done wrong. We're in a society today where don't tell me what I'm doing wrong. Let me live my life. You do you and I'll do me. But I'm here to tell you today that there needs to rise up some prophets in the house, prophets among the Christians, to tell those that have sinned that you have sinned against God. So we're in this place, David's in this place between the sinful acts and repentance. There's a lot's happened right here. In Psalms 51, it starts this way, for the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time Nathan the prophet came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. So it sets the setting of the position. It's after the sin, but before the repentance. And I believe the church, a lot of times, we hang out in that point. We're just waiting to get better before we come to God. And I'm here to tell you, it won't happen that way. You'll never get good enough to come to God. You'll have to fall on his mercy and his grace. So I would title today's message, Repent and Come Alive. Repent and come alive. Because you stay in a place of stagnation when you refuse to repent. You are actually in a state of rebellion against God when you refuse to repent. God created you for relationship with him. And when you deny relationship, you're in rebellion. And most of the time our rebellion is because we don't want to line up with what he says. David starts his prayer, if you'll forgive me. Getting this stuff in my throat. David starts this right here. This is his starting words of repentance. Have mercy on me, O God. How different would our lives be if every prayer we started with, have mercy on me, O God. Because mercy is simply receiving something you do not deserve. If he gave you what you deserve, you would be dead. You would be doomed to hell. But he starts out, oh God, have mercy on me. Why should God have mercy on you? Why should he have? It's answered in this verse. Why should God have mercy on us? David answered the question by saying, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. He says, you love us so much. You love us with an unending love. You love us unconditionally outside of the normal realms of love. You love us. This is why, Lord, have mercy on me, because you love me. Some of you need to get to understand that God loves you. God cares for you. He's compassionate. He says, goes on to say, because you have great compassion for me. That's why he's going to forgive you of your sins. That's why David is repenting. When's the last time you've asked God, have mercy on me? Because you love me. Most of us are so bound up by guilt and shame that we don't even want to talk to God. We're ashamed of it. And he says, David has this audacity after murder and adultery to say, because you love me, you need to forgive me. Woo! Got me all worked up. If nobody loves you, God loves you. And you need to because you love me. Your loving kindness toward me. Then he goes on to say this. No, I about made a lap in my house. Still verse 1. Blot out. out the stain of my sins. David asked God to blot out the stain of his sin. Not just the sin, but Lord, the thing that stained me, blot it out. The word blot means to obliterate. It means to annihilate, get rid of completely. I've got some clothes at the house that I've got some stains on. Listen to me. Some of you got some stains this morning. Stay with me, because you're going to like what I'm going to say. You got some stains in your heart, in your spirit. But you know, I got some stains on some shirts because sometimes it get a little sloppy. Come on, somebody. Sometimes my wife says, don't run by there and do that in that good shirt. You'll get grease on it. Now I'm going to be real careful. And I come home and she says, I told you. But I got some stains on some shirts, and guess what? They're clean. We washed them and they're clean, but they got a stain. Some of you saved, you just all the way saved, but you got some stains. You got some stains that you've been dealing with for years, and you need to cry out to God, have mercy on me and blot out the stain that keeps hindering me from moving forward in you. It's a stain of sin. How do you deal with the stain? Well, you start covering it up, number one. You say, well, I don't have it on this morning, Tammy, but if I had a stain right here, I'd wear a jacket over to cover it up. Come on, somebody, I'm fitting to preach. You'd cover it up. See, to the outside, I feel the Holy Ghost. To the outside, everything looks good. But when things begin to uncover, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, when you say, God, have mercy on me, and things begin to be brought to the light, you begin to see the stain that's still there, and everybody around you thought you were okay. As a matter of fact, you begin to tell yourself that you're okay because you can't see it either. It's just fine. And the whole time, the enemy's saying, yeah, that's right. That's right. Keep it up. You're doing real good because nobody can see it. Yet the stain is still there, and the stain only bothers you. Come on, somebody. I said the stain only bothers you. I can wear a stained shirt in here. It doesn't bother you. It's not your shirt. Oh, you may say, something wrong with the shirt. Who it bothers is me. I'm the one wearing it. It's time that the church asks God not only to repent of my sin, as David said, have mercy on me, Lord, but blot out my sin. Blot it out. You know, he's already done that, right? He said when you got saved, I don't know why you're carrying this junk around. When you get saved, he takes your sin and removes it as far as the east is from the west. May I tell you that there's an equator that runs around the world, the earth, and there's no beginning nor end. If you go north and south, there's a north pole, south pole. You got some parameters, a starting and an ending point. But when it comes to the east and west, there's no end to it. It's an unending circle. And he says, you'll never catch it again. I'll never remember it again when I blot it out. The key is you have to ask him, Lord, blot out my sin. It's one thing to be forgiven of sin. It's another thing for it to be blotted out of your life. Oh, you're saved. But you're ineffective a lot of times because of sin that stained us. Verse 2. It's a big one. Wash me clean from my guilt. Wash me from my guilt, That thing that nobody sees but you harbor, that's a stain of sin, that guilt that hangs around. The guilt, the condemnation that I can never do that because of my past. And God's saying, what past? I have forgiven you of the past. I remember it no more. Why do you remember it? Why do you keep bringing it up? Something we all have to deal with, church. The guilt of sin. The shame of sin. The stain of sin is real. It's alive if you allow it to be alive. But I'm telling you, you can put it to death. You can cut its head off if you say, God, have mercy on me, and you blot it out, God. It's already forgiven you of sins. Why don't you let him blot it out? Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Not purify. I like that word. I watched a few videos on purification. There's all kind of purifications in the Bible. A time after a lady's time of the month, there was purification of when you were to be a king's wife. There was purification after death. There was all kind of purifications in the Bible. So that I knew that because I read the Bible. And I thought, man, well, what does it mean right here? Because those were ceremonial things. What does this mean when it says purify me from my sin? That's more than ceremony. That's got to be something deeper. And this is where I feel that so many of us in the church have ended up right here, and we're hung up between, as David was, between the sin and the repentance. We're hung up in between. We got saved, but how do we get purified? Watch the video on purifying gold, purifying silver. Watch three or four of them. But you know what the purpose of, you don't have to move, and I'm not going to step on you. If I hadn't stepped on your toes by now, I ain't gonna step on them. You know what the purpose of the fire is? It's not to find out that there's gold. The fire is not to find out if you're saved. It's to find those impurities in you that would cause you to continue to have stain. When the dross would come up, it's a black material, and it comes to the top, and if you get so hot in gold or silver, they just scrape it right off, toss it to the side. It is useless. Stains and dross and impurities in gold and silver, they're useless. They're good for nothing. They just throw them away. But yet we value the stain because we hang on to it. We won't let it go. Why? It is useless in your life. Why would you hang on to something that's useless? Maybe you're a hoarder. Maybe you're a spiritual hoarder. I'll put it in the corner. It's not really bothering me. I'm not going to use it for 100 years. I'll just leave it over there. And the devil says, that's just fine. I'll go sit in the corner. He just lied to you. He's not leaving it in the corner. He wants you to think that he'll just hide out over here. Just don't get rid of it. Don't ask God to blot it out. Just let me sit over in the corner. And he'll wait. Listen to me. Sometimes he'll wait for years. And at the right moment, that little impurity that you never dealt with will raise its nasty head like a viper, like a nasty cottonmouth, and bite you and inject poison into you. It'll come in all kind of forms, but the enemy is full of poison and stains and useless stuff. Why do we allow him to hang around in our lives as blood-bought, born-again Christians? It's because we hadn't got serious like David was. David had been with the presence of the Lord. He had seen the miracles and the mighty hand of God, and he made a mistake, and he recognized it, and he said, let me take it to the Lord, because he's the only one can fix this thing. Purify me of my sins. Verse 3, some of you need to get this down. For I recognize my rebellion. You ever been in an adult conversation with somebody? Your husband or wife? Let me just go ahead and say it that way. Maybe somebody else. And they make statements similar to this. You're doing the same thing to me that I was doing to you, and you think it's okay for you, but it's not okay. Huh? You get that? See, when we're in this place for I recognize me, when are you going to look in the mirror? You should look in the mirror, see what you're doing. You're doing the same thing you're complaining about. Boy, I could preach from Republican and Democratic Party right here, but I won't. You're doing the same thing. Look in the mirror. What David did was says, I recognize my rebellion. I recognize my sin. It was me. It was me by myself. I set up the murder. I set up getting this woman to come to my palace. I set it all up. Nobody else. God, I'm not blaming anybody but me. Maybe you should take that responsibility. Maybe the church, maybe there's no prophets in the church because we're doing the very same thing that the prophets are called to do. Come on, somebody. Maybe we should be calling out sin, but we don't want to call out sin because we're doing it, and we know that if we call it out, somebody's going to call us out. It's time to get right with God. So what? I know I had a lot of stuff in the past. I don't want any of my stuff of my past up on the screen because I let God blot that out. Oh, I have a memory of it, but it does not control me. You got to come clean. You got to come clean with God, and you got to come clean with you. You can't save you. If you've asked God into your heart, you've been saved. But have you come clean? Have you let him blot everything out? Have you recognized and taken responsibility? Here's what he says about this rebellion. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. If something haunts you, I'm here to tell you that it hinders you. And it hinders you from moving forward in Christ. If this thing is haunting, all you're thinking about is how do I get around it? How do I keep this thing from bothering me? I can tell you, give it to God. Let God truly blot out your transgression, your sin. Let him have it. David goes on to say this, and this is just, it's taken me years because I've read this many times. As a matter of fact, when I first got saved, this was one of the things I did memorize most of it in my early years of Christianity. My God, I need, this is what I need. I love David. Here's why I love David. Not because of everything he's done. This is why I love King David so much in the Bible. He's my favorite character in the Bible, above all of them. You know why? Because he sinned and he had enough gumption to put it on paper and say, I did it and it's mine, but God forgives me. That's why I like him. Most of us, we not like David. We want to be saved so we don't go to hell, but we don't want to get clean. He says, against you and you alone have I sinned. I thought, David, are you nuts? You messed up a family. You killed somebody. No, you sinned against them. What about the king, your nation, your kingdom? Dave, what do you mean against God and him alone have I sinned? What does that mean? He says, I have done this evil in your sight. Sin is not what I want it to be. Sin is what God calls sin. See, we want to categorize sin. We want to take our sin and say, well, that's really not sin. It's close to this. But I don't want to recognize what God calls sin. No, what God calls sin is sin. The problem with the church today, we want to walk up and we want to be as close to sin as we can and still be saved. Wait a minute. Why don't we get clean? If the church would get clean, the church would be full. If people could say clean folks in a bunch of dirty folks, the dirty folks want to become clean. But here's what they're saying. They're saying a bunch of folks that say they're clean and they're just dingy. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching. My mama used to tell me, boy, take a bath and use soap. There's three of us boys, and we can skinny right through the shower. She'd say, come here. I'm going to pick on you. She'd wipe me behind my ears. Because we played outside. There wasn't no video games. You played outside, you're just dirty. You ever get them little nasty little necklaces right here on your fat? Come on, somebody. So if you ain't never got them, you ain't never worked outside. You ain't never played outside. Come on. You ain't never played in the dirt with a spoon and a Cool Whip bowl. Come on. I thought that was Christmas gifts. You know, come on. That was backhoes. Get all dirty. Get your elbows. Come on. When are we going to ask the Lord to clean us up? See, sin makes you dirty. And we're dealing with sin every day. But you do not have to become sin. God never called us to be sinful. God never said, win the lost, and you got to be real. You got to get right next to them and be as close to them as you can be so they'll recognize you. Oh, no. What they recognize is the opposite of what they are. Believe it or not, there's a dying and hurting world, and there's people that are shamed with guilt, and they're looking for the answer, and the church has the answer, but the church hasn't stepped into the answer because the church is still partly dirty. And really said, Lord, clean me up. Lord, do a work in me. Against you and you alone have I sinned. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. He recognized, God, whatever penalties come in my way, you're right for doing it. I have sinned against you. If you choose death for me, it's right. If you go on and read, see, there was a young boy died. His son died. God, whatever you choose, it's right. Why? Because God is just. God is right. Oh, you may be playing him for a fool right now. You may be just going through life and saying, oh, I'm good. You're probably the most sick of all. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23. Not one, not you, not your pastor for sure. No one. God wash us and clean us. Can I get someone to come to the piano? Verse 5. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. What's this? Listen, here's this thing about being clean again and accepting responsibility. He says, but you desire honesty from the womb. He is expecting honesty from the very beginning, before you even know right from wrong. He says, I expect it because I'm God. I am that kind of God. I expect it. Come on, do you know? You know, my parents had expectations of me. I have expectations of my children. I have expectations of my grandchildren. I have expectations of you as my congregation, as your pastor. Sometimes expectations will let you down. The hard part is, I know you can do it. But I was held to expectations, to standards. I don't know about you, but my mom would tell me, if you lie to me, I'll wash your mouth out with soap after I beat you. I don't know what it was worse. She had expectations that I would be honest. She had expectations that I shouldn't lie, that I should try to love the Lord, that I should do those things. There's expectations. Thank God somebody had expectations from the beginning. Before I knew better, she had expectations. God has the same expectations for you from the womb. He says, I want you to love me. I want you to give me everything. I don't want you to rebel from me. I want you to say, Lord, you wash me and I'll be clean. That you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Don't tell me you never heard, you don't know. In the womb, God says, I teach. People get hung up on the question, what if they've never heard the word? Will they go to heaven? The Bible says in the womb, there's something about the womb and God that says he puts it in your spirit even then. You can't get around it. You can excuse it all you want to. You can make the excuses. You can make the lies. But even in the womb, God is wooing you to serve him. Here's this word again, purify. Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. He's acknowledging that the only way I can become clean is if you do it, God. There's not enough church work. There's not enough church service. There's not enough committees you can be on. There's not enough titles you can have. It's not a star by your name when you do something good. You must purify me, God. And when you do it, I'll be clean. Wash me. Wash me. God, I wish he would wash some of you this morning. Wash me, God. Start with me, God. Wash me. Wash me clean. I don't do it often, Fonda, but when the grandbabies come over, I have to sometimes bathe them. I said sometimes, not very much, but I do. Because they're dirty. They can't wash themselves properly yet. Come on, somebody. And they need a little help. I want to suggest to you this morning, you need a little help. The church needs a little help. The church needs a little help. Oh, we just struggling with it. Well, you need to be washed clean. The church needs a little help. Oh, I've been hanging on to it for 20 years. You need a little help. You need God to wash you clean. There's some stuff hung up in some cracks and crevices. You need washed out. Let him wash you. If David had the prayer and he was after God's own heart, what do you think? Why do you think God would say, David's a man after my own heart? Not because he murdered, not because he had adultery, not because he was wicked in some way. It was because he knew what repentance was and it come from God and God alone. I got to hurry. Wash me and, my God, I'll be whiter than snow. Woo! I'll be whiter than snow. No stains. You get it? Are you putting a picture together? There's stain or sin, but when God washes you, you're whiter than snow. There's no impurities. Oh, if we could all be washed by the power of God, we'd be whiter than snow. Here's what I think happens. I can make a case for this scripturally. But here's what happens. We get saved. We get so excited about God. There's so much hope and so much joy, and all we think about is God, and we're reading God's word, and we're praying, and we're coming to church, and we're, oh my God, this is so good, and we're drinking from fire hose, and oh my God, we're just all wet, and hallelujah. And then, somebody's stain that they hadn't taken care of eases up beside you, because the enemy knows just when to rise up, and knows that you may have a little, I'm just picking on you, you may have a little gossip problem. And that stain from somebody else eases up to you and says, you know, I don't know about all that. Isn't that crazy? I mean, that preacher, you know, something wrong. You start to question. And the next thing, you know, that stain of sin begins to tear you down, and you're not so focused on the word of God. You're not so focused on the presence of God. You're focused on, I wonder if that's right. I wonder if that gossip's true. I wonder if that really happened. You know, gossip is addressed specifically in the Bible. Gossipers. It's a real sin. And so that stain bothers you, and you begin to dwindle down your love and your joy and your hope and your excitement. And David finds himself right here, and starting in verse 8, he says, oh, give me back my joy again. You lose your joy when stain hangs around. When you hang around stains, you get stained. I used to work in high school. I had a buddy of mine that had a dry cleaners. Best and worst job ever in the world. My job was to go through your nasty clothes and put my hands in your nasty pockets and pull out your chewed up gum, your joints, your weed, whatever it is that you left in your pocket. Oh, sometimes that $20 bill that I kept, in Jesus' name, come on somebody. They'd say, if it's here, it's yours. But I'd throw those clothes in that washing machine with that special formulated material, liquid, and they would come out smelling like your clothes. Do it to cleaner, nothing special, just clean. But my second job beyond that was to take every garment and hold it up and see if there was a stain. Sometimes they would pin a stain deal, and we'd put a pin where someone said, there's a stain, I need you to get it out. And I had this little tool, and it was basically an air hose with steam on it. And you had a little foot pedal right here, because steam gets about everything out. And we had some solutions for protein you could put on there, and you could take that little steam and you could work it out and get the right chemicals, and that stuff come out clean. Am I telling the truth? That was my job. I could take something in the natural that had a stain, put it in a washing machine, make it clean, get it out and remove a stain, and it would look like brand new. I thought about that. Thought, well, that's a whole lot like God. He can take my old nasty self, got the stuff in the pockets, stains on them, throw them in the power of the blood, come on somebody, and wash you and make you clean and remove every stain that I ever had if I allow him to do it. You need him to remove some stains this morning. I need him to. Oh, I got to hurry. Oh, yeah, I got to hurry. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. What he's saying is that God did not break him himself. He said, I'll let you do what you want to do. I'll let you play with stains all you want to. But when you get ready, I am here to give you back your joy that you once knew, when you weren't thinking about the sin and the stain. It was all about me, is what he's saying. I'm here to tell you today, it's all about him. It's all about him. Verse 9, don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. He's asking God to create a clean heart. Not a program, not the preacher, not your wife or your husband, not any. You, God, create a clean heart in me. Anything short of God creating a clean heart leaves you with a stain. It leaves you with a stain. I'm going to hurry. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Renew brings back to life. Come alive in 25. Bring it back to life. Bring that thing that I once had back to life, Lord. That energy, that excitement towards you. Renew a loyal spirit so that I think about you. My focus is you. I'm dealing with you, God, and you alone, Lord. I'm worshiping you and praying to you. Not getting caught up in the world. It says, do not banish me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Sadly to say that most churches have never experienced His presence anyway. Verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Are you getting, he's almost like repeating his prayer over and over. Every couple of verses, it's when he gets hung up on this, he repeats it two or three times. You know why that's in the Bible? Because you need to get it. You need to get that there's, that sometimes you'll lose your joy of being saved. I didn't say you were unsaved, you lose the joy. And we need our joy back. And make me willing to obey you. Oh, that's a new concept. Make me willing? You mean I have a choice not to be willing? Uh-huh. Make me willing. Make me willing, Lord. And when you get all that part down, when you get the stain out of the way and the joy of the Lord and all that back to you, here's what will happen in your life. Are you ready? It's right in the Bible. I ain't making it up. Here's what's going to happen. When you get right with God, you let Him wash you, you get the sin away, you get clean, you get your joy back, you start focusing on God. Here's what happens to you as a Christian in verse 13. Then I will teach your ways to the rebels. In other words, you're going to go out and make some disciples. You're going to go out and tell people, my God, I got saved. I got saved all over again. Whatever, rededicated, I don't care what you call it, but I got my joy back. I got my joy back. And now I'm teaching rebels, those that are rebelling against God. That's what happens when you get right with God. Come on, I said, that's what happens when you get right with God. You start saying, man, I got something, you need it. Get the joy back. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Woo! Forgive me for shedding blood. Well, he's talking about the murder. Literally. If you've murdered somebody here, you need to literally say, Lord, forgive me for shedding blood. And then holler at me. I'd like to know, you know. Help me, Lord. Forgive me for shedding blood. Oh, God who saves. You know what I got out of that? There's nothing. There's nothing God won't save you from. Nothing. A heinous crime, but God will save you. There's hundreds of millions of people in penitentiaries that have murdered people that you'll see in heaven because they give their life to God and they said, forgive me for shedding blood. I know that's tough. We don't like that. That's against the grain because we're better people than they are. Hogwash. That's two Greek words put together. Forgive me for sinning, but O God who saves, then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. My God, I wish you'd take the zipper off some of our lips. They ought to hear us like that clock goes down there off the Baptist church. They ought to hear us on Sunday morning down here praising. Well, preacher, that just ain't me. Huh. Well, maybe it ain't. Maybe it ought to be. You ought to try it. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship no matter what. That's what I do. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that I may sing that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I'd offer you one. He's not desiring you to be the best church member. He's not desiring you to be the best Sunday school teacher. He's not desiring you to be the biggest giver. He's not desiring you to be the best greeter or the best teacher or whatever. He's not desiring that. He's not desiring what you can do. He said, David said, if that's it, oh, I can do that. I've got that down. You've got that down. Some of you got it down. You don't miss church for nothing. You don't miss any event going, you got it down. He said, I'm not after that. What? You do not want a burnt offering. Notice, he don't want the physical thing. Watch what he says. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. Broken spirit simply means that was crushed or crumbled. That's what he's after. He says, you will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, O God. Here's what I know. When your heart gets broken and you get repentant in your spirit, you don't have to worry about anything being unfilled in the church. Come on, because your desire's going to get right. There'll be people lined up for teachers. There'll be people lined up to sweep the floor. There'll be people lined up to lock up the doors. There'll be people lined up to greet. There'll be people lined up to go out and say, well, hey, where do you want me to go? Who do I need to go see about the Lord this week? There'll be people lined up for that. When you get your heart right and you get washed and you get cleaned up and you get the stain removed, the rest falls into place. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you that it spoke to me before it spoke to others. Father, the Bible tells me that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. That it pierces asunder. That it's so precise that it divides the bone and the marrow. Lord, with your word today, I pray that you have separated the stain from the spirit. Lord, that stain has been identified. Lord, help us to know you more. If you're in this building and you're saying, Lord, got some stains, impurities, imperfections, and you want prayer, I want you to come forward. You say, Pastor, do you think anybody's coming forward? Absolutely. Because it's the Word of God that draws. I need some men right here, right now. Is that you this morning? Will you be honest with yourself? Will you be honest with God? We're not asking for a confession. We don't need all that. Have you lost your joy? Maybe do some soul searching. Maybe do some spiritual searching in there. Have you lost your joy? Maybe you should be at the front this morning. Is that you? Will you come? Oh, I know it's hard. If I stand up, people's going to think something's wrong with me. There is something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with all of us. Will you come? Jesus. Can wash away all of your stains. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What washes away your stain? The blood of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. My brother loves you. You see his heart. You see his heart this morning. You see the desire. Lord, pass the flesh. Yes. Deep, Lord. Wash away every impurity. Lord, he loves you. Save going to heaven, but he recognizes, God, there's some impurities, just like myself, Lord. Lord, honor his willingness to not rebel against you. Thank you, Lord. Deep in his spirit. Deep, 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 deep in your spirit. Deep in your spirit. Deep in his spirit. Deep in his spirit. I love you.
That doesn't sound like a check's coming next week right there. That's pretty weak. It'll be a small check.
It ain't about the money, but it's all about the money, right? Come on, somebody. Hey, I'm telling you, the Lord's doing something. The Lord's doing something in this house today. He has done something. He's going to continue. Some of you just still, can I be honest with you? I love you. Some of you just still a little rebelling right here. Oh, he's still there. He ain't run off and left you. It's all right. I got a couple things real quick. And since you're already late, it doesn't matter. We'll be a little bit later and we'll be right on time. This Wednesday, I'm going to. Where are you at, Bess? Can you get? I need a couple of guys real quick. Scotty and David, Wesley. Can you run down? I need you down here real quick. We get this, David. You can help too. You can get right here. Bring those up here. So here's what's going to happen. Y'all get over and stand behind me because I look better than y'all do, and I don't want y'all to enter. So you're fixing to get per family. So you're going to get two pieces of paper, not these. These are mine. You're going to get two pieces of paper. Okay, so Greg doesn't need one because he don't have to do this anyway. So because you can do this one per family. One of our goals, as we've been meeting with leadership, is to keep you connected when you're not at church. Okay? Because some of you don't think about church and need some. You're going to go upstairs. You can get some of these, and you're going to go upstairs, okay? Ever how many you might need. Amen. You're such a good helper. Could you wear a dress next time? Okay. So you can walk back upstairs. You're going to need to give these out. So we want to connect you when you're not here. And so one of the things this happened, and we've already done test trial. Some of you know this. We started a newsletter to a few people just to see how it was going to work. We had to do some, change it up, do a little bit of different things to get some right software. And that's above my head. I'm just telling you what they told me. And so... And so we want to, if you want to get on an email list, I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess email list. It was just that simple, and I was going all the way around the world. So if you do, how many of you know anything about QR codes? Okay, look, these are so simple. I did it. It takes you just a minute. David, where's David Edwards? How long did it take you to do you and your 19 kids? He's got five kids, right? And about 2 minutes. It's really simple. And we get a little information. You don't have to put all the stuff in there, but I want you to be connected. You're going to get an email. We're not sending you out emails every day. You're going to get one a week. And then you got your link. You're going to have a link you can do right here. You're going to do right here. That takes you to the church website. I'm going to say this. Now, if you were in the staff meeting this morning, you don't have to go back through this. How many of you visited the LVA Church website this week in this room? 1, 2, 3. No, you were in there. You put your hand down. Were you in there? I don't even know why we do that. I guess we just cut it off. Facebook web page, but Facebook is, it scrolls out. I mean, you don't have to go to there. It's going to pop up if you looked at any. I'm just talking about, have you made an effort to go somewhere? I'm just saying, there's information on there. Our announcements are on there. What's coming up this week? You're going to be able to link to what's going on. Maybe the reason I'm going to love on you. The Holy Ghost has been working on me this week. Maybe the reason. maybe the reason you stand off is because you want to be. Maybe the reason the joy of the Lord ain't there is because you ain't trying to get it back. I'm just saying, we've got tools. We spend money to have. Look, if you go to the website, I'm telling you, it's second to none. The graphics, the videos, the preacher looks good on there. I didn't say he was a good preacher. He just looks good on there. They do wonders. Worship is there. All kind of stuff. I need you to visit. I need you to get connected. You want to come alive? You want this church to come alive? Well, you're part of it. You got to come alive first. Get connected. I'm telling you, there's going to be so many good things this year. You're going to want to say, man, I wish I'd have got in on the beginning. We're going to be doing some great stuff. We got, you need to get signed up for some things. There's going to be financial pieces coming in March. We're going to teach you about your finances. If you're broke, you ain't supposed to be broke all the time. I didn't say you wouldn't go through hard times. You ain't supposed to be broke all the time. You got to manage. Save for a rainy day. How many of you like, so go ahead and pass these out. I'm sorry, I'm up here talking, ain't I? You, the deacon, you should have said something. Okay, so just on the QR code. So Greg, you're going to scan it, and it's going to ask you your stuff. You're going to put in Greg, and you're going to put in Phelps, and it's got a little bit. You can put your birth date, and then it's going to say next member, and you can put in hers. You don't have to both of it scan. That's why you get one paper, and you can do it. I need you can do it for all your kids, whatever. Here's what this is going to do too. It's going to help us. We try to keep up with who's here and who's not here, and this is going to help us. You can check in. We want you to check in when you get to church. How many of you check in places that you go that you want people to know that you're there? You know, to like a rock concert or whatever, you know. Come on, somebody. Check in at a rodeo. Check in at Walmart, whatever. Won't you check in at church? Won't you let the word check in at church? How many of you, while they're passing these out, look, you can ask them questions. Ask David any technological question you want. He can answer anything about that. How many of you, real quick, we're fixing to leave. Stay with me. Yeah, I know you busy. How many of you have heard of this phrase or these two words? Artificial intelligence, AI. How many of you heard of that? Man, that's cool stuff. But it's also some bad stuff. This Wednesday night, and next Wednesday, we got two sessions. It's going to be video. I got some great stuff that you as a Christian need to know about AI. Okay? I don't shun AI. I'm not scared of AI. Here's what I know. Listen to your pastor real quick, because I'm going to pastor you just a second. While they're passing this out, AI is not the devil. Same thing as a computer. It's no different. It's how you use it. Here, let me tell you this. The devil has been perverting God's creation from the beginning. Adam and Eve. He's been doing it since. How many of you remember when they talked about TV? Glory to God, the old devil. Old devil, we ain't bringing that trash in our house. I got 3 or 4 TVs in mine. I got one in every room. I don't watch trash on them, though. But I like them. Come on. Nothing wrong with a television. It's what you do with it. Come on. Nothing different. But you look, it's so interesting. You're going, man, it's going to be good. I'm telling you. You need to come and... I just want you to come. It's a teaser. Come. We're going to have it right here. We're going to video it. It'll be right in here. We'll play it up on the screen. You'll be able to hear it and see it. But now, look, we're going to start at 7. Do you hear me? We're starting at 7 in here. Yes?
Okay, one more thing. On the second page.
On the second page? Which one was 1 and 2?
Without the QR code.
The one without the QR code. Okay.
One family member enters all the families. Your other children or spouse or whatever want the app, then follow the instructions on the second page.
Yeah.
That's the website.
So if you're honey, you fill in the information, but your honey wants to get the app so they can go. And that's going to take you to the web page, and you can see all the stuff that's going on. Like even tomorrow night, stuff's already been posted. We started that last week. You can see stuff that's going on back here in the back, like tomorrow night with the ladies' ministries, stuff throughout this week. The Valentine's, the Love Your Neighbor stuff's on there. The workshop's on there. We try to put the whole month's worth of at least a lot of the month, but right now we're into the the week, and then we're going to try to get the whole month's worth of stuff on there. So how many of you carry around your calendar that you pick up? Please, for the love of God, tell me that you pick up one of these paper calendars in the back. Because, you know, me and my wife argue over this stuff. Because she has to make it up the week before the month starts, and we argue because I want more on there like this. And she says, well, it doesn't fit. Well, I said, well, make it fit. It just don't fit. You know, it's just a square. So pick up one of those. But how many of you take this, you put it on your refrigerator, and you say, oh, you left. I got to go back and get my church calendar. Nobody. I don't even do that. How many of you left your phone, you'd turn around and go back and get it? This way you have what's going on at the church there. If somebody asks you, hey, Tammy, what time is that women's ministry morning? He said, I have no idea, but my paper's in. Let me call somebody at the house and look on my refrigerator and get my paper. No, you can say, oh, that's at 6:30 or 6 or whatever. Amen? It links you to everything. Oh, you forgot to give your tithe. You thought I was going to forget about the money. You rascals, you. Love you. Let me bless you. Let me bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. Father, we thank you for being here today. First and foremost, we thank you for being here today. Thank you. Father, we ask you to shine upon us. Your face would shine upon us. That we would find favor with God and with man. Lord, that prosperity, job promotions, raises, increase would come our way. And Lord, that sweet sleep would blanket every rooftop. That when we lay down this afternoon or tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Hey, remember, pray for Ralph Jones. Amen. And there's many others, but he's a dire need. And Jeremy Young, in Jesus' name.